Welcome back to the World on Drugs podcast, everybody. It's your boy Steve here, and we got another what? Say it with me, folks. Banger on our hands. All about the Lubyanka criminal group. Lubyanka. It's another name for Russia's version of the CIA. They are known as the Federal Security Service of the Russian Federation, the FSB. Today on World on Drugs, I'm going to talk about how the FSB was responsible for directing two civil wars and putting Vladimir Putin in a position of power. Beyond war and contract killings, we'll also cover how they decided to poison their enemies who tried to stop them or spoke out against them. The FSB still carries plenty of power today and will continue to do so as long as old Vladdy boy holds the presidency of Russia. Why did we do this one, folks? Because it's going to sound real fucking familiar, guys. I mean real familiar for what's going on right now in the Ukraine. They almost did the same exact thing. And this Vladimir Putin guy really fucking sucks. How was last month's three-week shuffle of the Cartel Jalisco New Generation? Pretty fucking awful, right? I gotta say, El Mencho, if you're listening to this, please don't murder me. I have no beef with you, but I would say kind of a bad guy. Is that fair, Menchie boy? You're not the nicest person in the world. This week, this episode was done by my guy, Dr. Joe Hoswell, and my guest is Frank Castillo. If you don't know Frank Castillo, he's a paid regular at the Comedy Store. Really great comedians, opened up for everybody, very large in the marijuana community of Los Angeles. How do I know Frank? Well, Frank was a door guy with me when I started at the Comedy Store. Funny thing, when I started at the Comedy Store, I kind of moved down to LA for two reasons. One, I had done all I could do in Sacramento, done all I could do in San Francisco. So I was going to come down here eventually. But a lot of it was because of a little bit of the old following the lady. Yeah, I followed what is my ex-girlfriend down here. And when I came down here, I found out she was banging or did bang all the door guys at the Comedy Store. Didn't bang Frank, but was banging one of his good friends, in which she broke up with him now that I was down here. So when I came to the Comedy Store, you could guess it, folks, not many people liked old boy. Yo, boy. I would almost say everyone fucking hated me. But comedy is a lot like sports. If you got talent, you're probably going to be fine. So I just started dunking on fools' heads. How would I do that? I'm going up on potluck on Mondays, just showing my wares. And eventually everyone liked me because I'm pretty cool and funny. Or you don't think I'm funny and you don't think I'm pretty cool and you're just listening to this podcast out of spite. And to you, sir, I say, bravo. You're really trying if you're doing that. You really got to hate someone. And since then, me and Frank have become very good friends. Frank was one of the guys who spearheaded the Comedy Store at the Rose Bowl during the pandemic. Frank and I were the last two door guys passed by Adam Egan. If you don't know who Adam Egan is, he's the guy who helped turn around, along with Eric Anderson, the GM, the Comedy Store. He's also the guest host on the show, The Norm Show on Netflix, the talk show / podcast thing, which was one of my favorite things to do because I saw him as a governing official that demanded my respect, a man who I longed to like me. Not sure if he even still likes me. He did pass me, but won't follow me back on Instagram, which keeps me up at night. We're the last two guys passed by him, and we just become friends. And this is a really fun episode. We're going to focus on old Vladdy boy for the next maybe month. Okay? So if you don't enjoy espionage, Russians, which, you know, I've said it on this podcast many times, I am not a huge fan of the Eastern Europeans. And, you know, I just find them shady. And, you know, this really shows it. I mean, dude, what they did in the past is exactly what they're doing right now to the Ukraine. I mean, the way that it's exactly the same, it's going to blow your mind. And that's why we're doing it, folks. Following these two episodes, part one this week, part two next week, we're going to go into all the hits that Vladimir Putin did. I'm talking, he killed enough people for us to do an episode on. You understand that, folks? If you're Russian, you might like him. He kind of has a decently approval rating over there, but he's also, you know, state-run TV and stuff like that, which just teaching people, indoctrinating people into thinking that he's a good person and what they're doing in Ukraine is okay. And he did it before. One of the best ones is, so he made one of these martial, I'm not going to tell it to you. Keep listening. It's a good one. It's a good one. Frank is a little stoned. Frank was actually the first guy I ever did this podcast with. To tell you how stoned Frank was, we did a podcast. The podcast at the beginning was supposed to be, I was supposed to be a Sherpa telling you how to get fucked up and not lose your life. And because at the point I had a few friends dying from bad Oxycontins, bad cocaine, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna do something about it, and record the first episode with Frank, and it was actually really funny. He forgot to turn on his fucking microphone. Is that my fault? Should I have turned it, being the host? Probably. So then we did another episode, and guess what, he forgot to turn it on again. So there's two episodes of me talking to the ether, a ghost, nothing. So I bailed on that. Then we got into this because then I thought, you know, fuck it. We'll do how to take drugs and famous drug dealers. And then we come in now to just pieces of shit. The name, some people still don't understand the name World on Drugs, okay? What I'm saying is the world is so fucked up, it seems like it's on drugs. Okay, you got it. You love it. This is a fun episode. Let's talk about what I've been up to, because I haven't talked to you guys in a couple weeks. So let's start off first. I was just on tour with Birdie Boy again. The old Birdie Boy Relapse tour finally came to an end. We did a Oklahoma, Texas run, and a few things. Number one, huge fan of San Antonio. If you guys have never been, I mean, it's just the things that I like. They got a weird little river going through there. That's kind of nice. It's lower than the street level, so it stays cool. There's a bunch of fun little restaurants. It's just kind of nice. And it's also has great Tex-Mex. I really like Tex-Mex. If you don't, Tex-Mex isn't like California Mexican food. I feel like California Mexican food a little bit more heavy, you know? Whereas Tex-Mex, I feel like there's vegetables, a lot of fire-roasted stuff, great tortillas in San Antonio, which if you know me, folks, you know. Oh, Papa Bear loves a good tortilla. And it was a really cool experience going around those places. Amarillo, Texas, we went to the famous, goddamn, what place, Big Tex or some shit? It's a famous steakhouse. It's in all the movies, and it's in Man vs. Food, where they do a 72-ounce steak competition. Okay, who can eat a 72-ounce steak, three shrimps, they're breaded, a dinner roll, and a full potato, and a salad? We were all going to do it. Then we said, fuck that, let's just make Dave do it. Old Dave W., Dave Williamson. Why do we say that? One, Dave eats like that every day. The man consumes more meat than a chupacabra. Okay? He's a consumer. That's why his farts are the most rank things I've ever smelt in my life. He did really good. He did probably about 68 ounces, ate his shrimp. But really, folks, can you, once the potato and the salad comes, can you eat a full potato? Okay, maybe you can. A little heavy. Rind included, folks. He had to eat the potato rind. Then you got to follow it up with a salad. And one of those, like, you know, the bag of salad you open with little stringy carrots and a little stringy radish in there, and then just some iceberg. It was pretty fun watching him. Watched him almost throw up in his mouth twice. Then I did see him throw up. And also, he's elevated amongst everybody like a king, like a gluttonous king. So he threw up, and as he threw up, he shit his pants. That is a true story. What was he wearing? He was wearing white sweat Nike shorts. So once I saw him throw up, I laughed, but then I saw his face turn. A face only can be described as, did I just shit my pants? You know that one? If you're looking on Spotify, folks, we're now doing video. It's this face right here. You kind of look to the side down. You're looking for an inner vibe. You're like, wet fart? Shit my pants. He shit his pants, had to go to the bathroom, threw away his underwear. Luckily, this place was so huge that they had a gift shop. So I ran over there and bought him some Texas Steer underwear, just so we'll remember the occasion. That was Amarillo. Tulsa. Tulsa was fine. Don't really remember Tulsa that much. I think I did okay on Tulsa, but I fucking murdered San Antonio and Amarillo. San Antonio was maybe one of the best sets I've ever had. Let's not go that far. It's still the Grand Ole Opry. After that, came home and had my Buried show at the Comedy Store with my guy, Craig Conant. If you don't know Craig Conant, check him out. He's famous on the internet. He's coming to a town near you. He is the man, one of my best buds. And then I went home to a little wedding action, folks. You know, if you moved away and you go home to the wedding, it's a little snapshot of what your life used to be or could have been. And my life would have been and could have been fun. Well, I don't know about fun, but it would have been good. Definitely a lot more fun right now. I don't know if I could be having more fun. It is amazing, my life at this point. So I go back there and I get to see all my friends. My buddy Sam got married at a beautiful ceremony down the street. Got to see my parents for a couple days. Partied pretty hard. Little open bar action. A little bit of the best man flask thing. You know, we've all got a couple of those, right? Your name's on it. It's filled with booze. You're feeling good. So I was pounding that. Did the thing. Did a little best man speech. I was gonna do my best man speech on this, but then I thought about I don't know if I want to cry. I wept, folks. I wept in front of 100 people. I did. I wept, honestly, when I wrote it. I was crying when I wrote it. I wept in front of other people. It was like, also, I got to give it up to my man Sam. Not a single non-white person. Impressive, buddy. Impressive to live your life and not befriend one black person. It's like, we went to the same high school, Doc. Did you not know anybody? But I wept. I cried. I don't think I'm going to do my speech on this one because I don't know if I want to cry for like a few thousand people to hear it. That wouldn't be my most fun thing to do. But it essentially went from, I've known my friend Sam since the first grade. Oh, I also wasn't going to do a speech, but his brother wasn't able to come because he had COVID. And I got to say, better he didn't. One of the least fun people you've ever met in your life, Joey Achondo. But, yeah. I've known the man since first grade. That's a long time to know a human being, you know. And in first grade, this is a true story, we wrote a list. I'll do kind of the gist of what the speech was. We wrote a list in the first week we met each other on how we were going to spend our lives together. And on the list, we had, number one, we were going to go through this. It was elementary, middle school, as being best friends. We did that. Then we said we were going to grow beards. You're going to look at me right now. Not the best beard, but not that bad. Then we said we were going to play football at McClatchy. And then we said what jobs we were going to have. I wanted to be a ninja with lasers. Turns out, lasers are hard to come by. Not the easiest thing to find. And Sam wanted to be a fireman. You know, a lot of first graders do that. But how many actually become firemen? Sam did. Sam spent his whole life since that moment thinking, I'm going to be a fireman. And he did it. And it just shows, you know, some people have the gumption to get whatever they want. And also, Sam was one of the smallest human beings you've ever seen. I think he came into high school at 68 pounds. Still, you know, some people could argue, could have been in a car seat. I was one of those people that argued that Sam should have been in a car seat. I was very adamant just to bust his balls. And it was so funny. Every time I'd make fun of him, he would always go, my uncle said I was going to be tall. My uncle said I was going to be tall. I'm like, dude, you're not even 5 feet as a freshman. You'll never be tall. Guess what, folks? Guess what this son of a bitch did? Became tall. Came tall, came jacked, became a firefighter. And I'm very proud of him for doing that. It's also great to just see all your high school friends, you know what I mean, man? Just like, just getting a glimpse into what if I would have stayed in Sacramento, my life would have been like, would have been fun, would have been fine, would have enjoyed it. But, you know, just like Sam spent his life chasing that dream and accomplishing it, I'm spending my life trying to chase my dream and accomplish this. And as of right now, it's going decent. Then I came back, and yesterday had a little bit of the old Comedy Store main room. And guess what, folks? That audience stunk. They stunk. I haven't had an audience that bad in a while. You know what's not good? When the door guys, as you're going up there, going like, this audience fucking sucks. And I went up there, and I did my, if you've seen me live, you know my opening joke, Dirty Girl Cars. And I end on the girl, you know, whatever, we'll do a gist. I end on the punchline, and I kind of always pause for laughs because guess what? It works. It just works everywhere you go. Why? Because girls who have dirty cars enjoy it because it makes them think that they're good at sex. You know, and that they're proud to have dirty cars. Guys think it's funny because it does ring true. And I got nothing. 400 people. 400 people gave me shite. That's the thing about an opening joke, okay? This is why comedians do opening jokes. And that's why you do normally one of your better jokes to open. And for me, my opening joke tells you how I'm going to do comedy. I'm training you. My comedy is going to be setup, punchline, tag, bang, bang, bang. Over again, bang, bang, bang. It's telling you what kind of language I speak. And when 400 people look at me and go, huh? I was like, okay, fuck you. And I walked up to the first woman I saw, and I punched her in her goddamn mouth. No, I didn't do that. I just kept doing comedy. Just kept doing jokes. Because it's also, in a way, it's like, oh, you think you're going to beat me? You think I can't get you to laugh? I've given my life to this. I left my family for this. I left my friends for this. And you think I can't get you to laugh? Well, guess what, folks? I didn't. I'm not. I'm moving home. Yeah, I got him a little bit, but not to levels that I am used to. So then we came back today, and we are here. Want to give a shout out to Sosis, John Sosis, Tony Gidley, and my guy Bruce Gray for helping me with the podcast. Got a shout, give a big old shout out to the Comedy Store and Comedy Store Records. My suggestions would be. Oh, I haven't talked about this, did I? If you guys know comedy, you may have heard of a fellow named Brendan Schaub. He is an excellent UFC announcer. His comedy, he's new, okay? He's new. He's about 5 or 6 years in. He's better than I was at 5 years in, okay? He's got more time. He's already done 2 albums. I can't really shit on him the way a lot of people do. Most people do. He may be one of the most hated people on the internet. I actually don't hate the guy. I don't even dislike him.
I think he had to start doing stand-up in the public eye. So it's like if my first open mic, dude, his first time on stage was after Rogan in the main room of the Comedy Store. First time. My first time on stage was at a D club in Sacramento. Not much at stake in a D club in Sacramento. But his crew is with Chris D'Elia, Brian Callen. One of them is an alleged pedophile, and one of them is an alleged rapist. Fighter and the Kid podcast. I say alleged because I don't know. I would say signs lead to yes on both of those, but alleged nonetheless. So he is beefing with Tiger Belly, which is Bobby Lee, Kalila, and Trash Tuesday, which is Kalila, Annie Letterman, Esther Pavitsky. Let's see, which side of this argument am I going to lie on? Bobby Lee, a man that took me on the road when I first started. Over 6 weeks he took me on the road. Why did he stop? Because he told me I was too good. Is that true? I mean, the story's true. Yes, he did say that. But was I too good? No. Bobby is an all-time crusher. The man obliterates stages. By the time he got off stage, no one even remembered I was on the fucking show. But nonetheless, I love that man, and he took me on the road. Kalila, his beautiful, kind wife, from what I know, okay? I don't know what their actual stuff is going on. Trash Tuesdays. Annie Letterman. Decently good friend of mine. I would say a very good friend of mine a couple years ago before the podcast. So I lean towards them. Well, bunch of drama started happening. Everyone's going after Brendan Schaub, and Brendan Schaub starts saying that he starts suing people that are going after him. And he talks about suing Trash Tuesday for talking shit. And on Trash Tuesday, Annie Letterman says that a comedian who's unfunny, I think she might have used his initials, asked her if she wanted to go to the car to fellate him. Never said anybody's name, but, you know, alluded that it was going to be him. And then Kalila said that he had slipped into her DMs to try and smash while she was with Bobby. Now, what Kalila didn't say was that he did it 7 years ago. And Brendan Schaub has only been doing comedy for 6 years ago. So a year before that, he's trying to smash someone who's in a long-time relationship with someone he doesn't know. Is that wrong? Yeah, sleazeball dirtbag thing to do. But is it as bad as him trying to fuck Bobby Lee's wife now when he's friends with them? No, that's way worse, you know, when you try to fuck your friend's married wife than some girl with who's hot with big tits on the internet. And then, so they're beefing, and I mean hardcore beefing, and Brendan Schaub decides to go on Tiger Belly, which is Bobby Lee and Kalila's podcast, to talk it out. And as far as podcasting goes, as good as it can possibly get, because there is beef and there is heat and there is simmering. And I'm not talking about Dave Williamson's barbecue, folks. I'm talking about these people genuinely not liking each other, and you get a deep dive. And what I would say is Brendan Schaub should not have done that. But man's a fighter. He was in the UFC. He's not scared. He goes, okay, I'll go on there. And Kalila then proceeded to rip him apart. And so that would be my suggestion. Go to Tiger Belly and listen to the Brendan Schaub episode. And if you like drama, which, you know, I love drama, check that out. Also, if you are in California, check out West Coast Gardens, my favorite marijuana in the business. I took that all around this country, sprinkling nuggets to my friends like old Johnny Appleseed, blessing this country with some of the best marijuana in the business. Also want to give a shout out, if you're in PDX, Portland, check out Grizzly Farms, another great one. That's going to be it right now, folks. Thank you very much. We're jumping in to a Putin extravaganza. Going to be next 3 weeks, maybe five. I haven't decided if we're going to jump into what's going on in Ukraine right now. I think it's getting a little close to, a little too political for me. I'm more just like psychopathic warmongering drug dealers or murderers and stuff like that. But you're definitely going to get another three-week Putin extravaganza. I think it's very good. Dr. Joe Hoswell did a really good job in researching this, and we put together some stuff that's pretty funny. Questions, keep it lighthearted, but it really allows you to look at how Putin has fucking planned what's happening right now for the last 30 to 40 years. And guess what, guys? He's not someone I would fuck with. I think we could beat them, though. But I don't know shit. But I do know that their tanks and stuff like that are not very well maintained, from what I'm hearing from my military personnel friends. But, you know what's very well maintained is a nuclear missile that could blow the living shit out of us. So hopefully none of that happens. Some truly terrible news lately with... let's not talk about that stuff. All right, guys, enjoy the podcast. Shout out to Bruce. Shout out to John. Shout out to Comedy Store Records. Shout out to all of you. I love you. Shout out to Frank Castillo. Enjoy the podcast. Bye. Frank, good to see you, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
We're in.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of like the WTF podcast, I do a big chunk in the beginning where I'm telling about a relationship. So, we're going to go right now into the Lubyanka criminal group, which is essentially Russia's version of the CIA. And in essence, it's how Vladimir Putin got into power. In this podcast, we try to just focus on shitty-ass people across the world. And this one's okay. This one's pretty good. I like it. Mainly starts in August 1991.
Wait. Do we think Vladimir Putin's shitty because we're Americans looking at this? Or, like, if we were Russian, would we be like, Putin's great?
You're going to hear about him, and you can decide at the end. How about let's try and remember? Here, I'll write it at the end. Frank, how do you feel about Putin? And then we'll see what
I feel like
think.
This is either going to get me killed or in a lot of trouble.
It's gotten a few people killed. It's gotten a few people killed, let me tell you that.
This is going to be on my sizzle reel.
And it's going to say, it's going to be you laughing that says RIP.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. This is a fucking tie-dye shirt, and you just got assassinated by plutonium by Putin. All right, August 1991.
Wait, is that how he kills people?
You're going to learn a lot, Doc. August 1991, communism has fallen in Russia, and they must decide what to do with the KGB. The KGB was the old version of what these guys turned into. The KGB is split into four new structures in order to merge with the new government structure in Russia after the fall of the USSR. April 3rd, 1995, the Federal Security Service of the Russian Federation, the FSB, what we're going to be talking about, is officially created. The multiple name changes and numerous restructures prior to this period were carried out in order to keep the KGB alive in different forms while avoiding scrutiny by newly elected officials. These steps taken by former KGB members turned politicians ensure that the FSB is completely independent and can operate without approval or oversight from all elected officials aside from the president of Russia. Emphasis on the president of Russia from the guy who's going to be there. Might be good advice to stay away from Russia. What's one piece of advice you're going to tell your child?
Oh, like growing up?
When you're going to have a kid.
Uh-huh.
Could be funny, could be good, could be one thing you wish you would have known as a kid. What's one thing you're going to tell them?
Oh, there's the way you perceive the world happening to you. There's the truth, and then there's the way other people's perception is. Or, wait, did I get that right? No, there's a story you're telling yourself, there's a story that is true, and then there's a story that other people are telling themselves. Fuck, I fucked it up.
Well, yeah, you're about 100 milligrams, probably 200 or 300 milligrams deep of edibles. It's quite impressive. The man walks around like he's sipping scissor, but it's like a weed Nesquik.
Can you imagine my kid hearing my advice too, and he's like, just spit it out, Dad.
Just doing that. Don't look people in the eyes unless they're your friend. Mine, I'm gonna go with you ever had halal food?
Yeah.
So my first trip to New York, this guy's gotten this halal thing. And, you know, growing up in California, we can eat spicy food, okay? So I go to the guy, he goes, how spicy you want it? And I probably should have done an accent, but I didn't say what it was. I go, I'm from California. And he goes, oh.
And he made this shit so fucking hot, I had explosive diarrhea. I actually pooped my pants back from an Uber. I had to sit. I couldn't get out of it. I had to sit like you kneeboard.
Yeah.
Off the thing with my feet under. I said, you know what, sir, you could just let me out here. So my underwear are floating around New York.
How many times have you shit yourself? In life.
In life? Oh, I don't know. I would say in the last 5 years, two. There was that one, and then I recently shit my couch.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
At least 12.
12 your whole life or in the mm-hmm. 5 years?
Whole 12.
What was
whole
the worst years. One?
Oof. You know, worst one was actually lying down next to my wife. Mm. We were just spooning and not spooning. We were looking at each other, laying down our sides, and we were just gazing longingly into each other's, and we were just talking, and I let one rip, and we both realized that it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that one. It would also, you know, if it's hot out, because like normally if you shit yourself, it's not a log.
No.
It's like, no one like shits themselves. They're like, oh. It's yeah. like, and then you're like, sweat.
Or a piece.
Yeah, or a little piece. Yeah. Oh, I've never had the piece. Mine is normally like a, looks like a paintball went off in my pants. 1996, after newly established Russian business leaders help Yeltsin win the election, the FSB begins an organized campaign to tarnish the reputation of leading businessmen in Russia. The FSB begins calling the business leaders oligarchs, which implies they have power. So essentially, they're trying to take everything away from everybody. The FSB would be like the CIA, which they did. I mean, original Bush was the leader of the CIA. They came into the, they now have gotten rid of the KGB and they infiltrated the government, and the leader of the KGB, Putin, is going to fucking worm his way up there. So these guys are going, so they start to take, they want to take power away from the richest people in the country.
Yeah,
so, and so they start naming oligarchs.
So it's like if the government went up to Elon and was like, your shit's our shit now.
Yeah, they said like the government and everything they posted were saying, you know, want to be king. Because if you hear that enough, poor people are going to be like, I don't want to fuck with this guy who's a wannabe king. This is ironic because the business leaders do not truly have any power in Russia. And the success of anti-business leader campaigns demonstrate that the FSB are the ones who truly hold the power in Russia. That's what's actually happening right now is Putin is murdering all the people that own like Gazprom. If you've ever seen soccer, it says Gazprom, all the Russian oil places. And he's just taking their shit. And he's not even he just killed the guy who is the guy who used to lead the oil, it's this one oil company. He stabbed all of his children, not him. He sent someone stab all his children, and then he hung the guy, and then he put this fake note that said the guy committed suicide. This guy's a billionaire. And that's one thing. It's he's doing now. This all leads up to that. The next episode, we're going to talk about Putin the hitman. The FSB uses the oligarch campaign in order to increase the money flowing into Russian government agencies by the billions. Although no longer the KGB in name, the FSB utilizes power to make money and shields members from being charged for any criminal activities. This campaign largely targets many of the newly created, who? Russian oligarchs I was just talking about, oil oligarchs, who had benefited from regaining control of the refineries. However, the FSB utilized fear, tactics, bribery, and indirectly murdered any of the oil oligarchs willing who are unwilling to work with the FSB. This is actually what they're doing right now with the oligarchs. It's just a conspiracy. What's one conspiracy you hope is true?
That the Aztec pyramids were used for alien shit.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Because there are those guys. It doesn't make sense. Like, the Aztec one doesn't make sense. You hear the Egypt one does because it's like slaves.
Well, it also does kind of make sense in the sense. Oh, no. I mean, none of them makes this. Conspiracy theory doesn't make sense because it's like, of course, they just built them. You know what I mean? They were doing crazy shit back then. Like, they had the technology. They you know what I mean? They were able to map the stars. Like, it's not insane that they built some fucking pyramids. I just think we can't believe it because it's like, you know.
Well, also, I like that they're doing these new images. So they got these satellites that people do mines, and they look for the stuff, right? The hardest stuff to get right now is the chips for your phone, and it's all in South America. And so they have these satellites that do x-ray imaging of the forest, and they're finding just lost cities that the jungles just re-overtook.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking cool.
Yeah, we're going to fucking open one of those up and like unleash a fucking like monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Kukui, not Kukui. Oh, what's that big?
Oh, Kukui?
There's like a big octopus monster.
The Kraken?
cracked and it's like Salish. I don't know, whatever.
Cthulhu?
Cthulhu, yeah. Cthulhu's going to come out. Too many X's in the South America.
Also, I do want to point out how I just want to give credit to Putin and the creativity of going from the KGB to the FSB.
Yeah, it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
The next one's LMNOP, and then we're going to go to XYZ. Creating war to undermine democracy. This shit right here is going to sound real familiar. The first war with Chechnya. After losing Ukraine and Belarus due to the destruction of the Soviet Union, Russian President Boris Yeltsin grew concerned as Chechnya elected Dokhtar Diadev, D-E-D-A-E-V, as president of the republic and made a move to become an independent country like Ukraine and Belarus. Political leaders and members of the newly created FSB were concerned that losing this northern territory would weaken Russian power too much and remove their status as one of the world's superpowers. According to a book written by former FSB member Alexander Litinko and Yuri Felizhinsky, F-E-L-S-H-T-I-N-S-K-Y, the FSB sent operatives to Chechnya to commit acts of terrorism. Right here. Under Russian law, any act of terrorism was to be met with force and snuffed out with extreme discrimination. Essentially, this meant that if terrorists were believed to be operating within a Russian state, then the military could be deployed and any civilian casualties would be blamed on the terrorists. So essentially, a little bit like Ukraine. And this is what they do. Well, I don't want to jump ahead, but they might be the terrorists and all the shit that they're trying to fight. Sounds a little familiar. These guys are always trying to do some sneaky shit. Speaking of shit, where's the strangest place you've urinated or defecated?
I had to... What was the weirdest place I had to take a shit? I mean, that's not anything, like, weird that I've had... I mean, taking a shit outside, you know, but I don't know if that's weird is more, like... natural, you know what I mean? We've been taking shits outside for hundreds of years.
Yeah. Thousands, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
One time I did, when we were dating, me and my wife, when we were just boyfriend and girlfriend, we were coming home from dinner, and I don't know what happened. Something didn't sit with me, but I had to, like, pull over, and I almost shat on the side of the road. And it was going to be, like, that was going to be on one of our dates. And that was probably going to be a big moment in our relationship, yeah. Whether or not, like, she watched me as I shit on the side of the road, like, three dates in.
Do you have any napkins?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you really decide whether or not you're going to stay with someone after that.
That's the cool thing. Since my girlfriend is a nurse, I can essentially do whatever, and she can't be grossed out.
Yeah. Since Hannah's a psychologist, yeah. And she's seen crazy shit, she's like, nothing grosses me. Bodily fluids don't gross her out.
So I went on a date with this girl that was insanely over my head, but I was on a hot one. I was charming, funny, and I'm racking it up, right? And to the point where I'm like talking to her at this bar. It's a great little bar I go to. We're just kind of chatting, and I go like, you know, I can take off a bra in like 2 seconds. She goes, well, try on me. Then bam, her titties come out real quick, and I'm like, okay, this is going good. We go to her house. I mean, this chick is fucking fine, right? And we're hooking up, we bang in at night, and then we bang again in the morning, and then my stomach is killing me. And this is the first time we hung out. And I'm not going to just blow up this woman's fucking place. I go, okay. I go abruptly. I go, you know what, man? I got to go. I got to go, okay? And she goes, oh, okay. All right. See you later. I leave. I get down to my car. I can't wait. She has one of those underground garages. I go, fuck. And I see this little door. It's kind of a back entrance. So I go, I get out of my car, I go behind the door, hold it, and I no underwear, diarrhea all over the wall. And this was the way you got up to her apartment, so every time I came back, there was a diarrhea flag that Steve Fury had been here, like a dog marking his territory. She never had no idea. I didn't like bring it up ever. She might now, I doubt you watch the podcast. November 1994, Russian troops are stationed outside of Chechnya as the world begins to show support for Chechenian independence. Alex and Yuri argue that in light of this, it was made absolute no sense for a Chechenian terrorist organization to strike in Moscow and spur on a full-scale civil war, right? We can guess what's going to happen. If you were going to start a war with two different ideas, sides of anything, what would it be? For instance, like, you know, could be anything, like guys who... pineapple on pizza, don't, whatever you want to do like that.
I'd want a war between, you know, I'd want to do classic, just get between Cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs.
Yeah. Cats and dogs. Yeah. Yeah. Not like owners, like for real, just cats and dogs.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I got it. I mine would be
But I mean all cats and dogs. That means lions, like fucking like the mongrels from the what are they called?
Mongrels.
Not mongrels.
Like, what are the like racist thing for like
hilarious. What's the what's the wild
wolves?
Dogs in
wolves?
No. There's like they're like sub-Saharan. Am I thinking of hyenas?
Hyena could kind of be a dog, I guess. It's a dog? Okay, we'll take a dog on that one. Me? Spliffs versus blunts. I'm fucking tired. Don't do spliffs. This East Coast spliffs bullshit.
Well, that's also a European thing.
Yeah, it's for people that don't have a shit ton of weed. And you got to stretch it out, I think.
Some people for real like the tobacco of a spliff over the tobacco of a blunt. Nonsense. And I think it's just a tobacco preference. But even then, I'm like, ugh.
It's just gross. Just smoke less weed if you don't want to get too high or whatever. November 18th, 1994. A railroad track crossing in the Yazoo River in Moscow is destroyed by a low-level FSB operative. The bomber died in the blast, but it is discovered that his boss is Maxim Levosky, a high-ranking member of the FSB and the Lanico Oil Company. According to Alex and Yuri, Lanico was a shell corporation that employed many members of the FSB that allowed them to commit various crimes while removing their ties to integral Russian government organizations. This was labeled as a terrorist act. Remember before, if there's ever a terrorist act to happen in Russia, Russia rules, they can do whatever the fuck they want. So essentially what the FSB is doing is terrorizing their own country so that they can't have reasons to attack other countries. This was labeled a terrorist attack because the FSB confiscated a truck nearby that had 3 landmines, 50 charges for grenade launchers, 10 grenades, and 4 packs of plastic explosive. Investigators were unable to determine the owner of the truck loaded with explosives. Fake truck, just to get people in trouble. This event started the first Chechen-Russian war and was signaled the first movements to remove Yeltsin from power. He was seen as too liberal and was allowing too much change to how things were run in Russia. Russia hates changes and loves the old ways. What's one thing you wish you could change in your life?
One thing I wish I could change in my life? Oh, these are such heavy questions for such a high person.
I warned you, buddy. This is the whole point of the podcast. Yeah, take another sip.
One thing that I wish I could change about my life? Is this weird? I wish I was Italian.
Okay, why is that? It's very weird.
I just love the food so much.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I wish I was Italian and, like, born in Italy. Like,
yeah,
with one of those fucking, like, families that, like, makes wine and all that, like, shit. Like, I think that's the one thing I'd change in my life.
That'd be kind of fun. I am Italian, but I'm, like, American-Italian.
Yeah, I'm Mexican-American.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, we're, like, gross versions of what we really are.
Yeah, an abomination.
Yeah.
We're, like, the, what's something fake? I don't know. But you know what the weird thing about Italy is, if you really look into it? They've been on the wrong side of history every single time.
Yeah, but great food.
They do have good food. It's heavy, though. I'm tired of heavy food. I just go to sleep. I need to stay awake. One thing I would change in my life. I don't even know.
No need to brag, dog.
Yeah, I know. My life's pretty good at this moment. I would like to change some stuff in my past where I hurt some people that shouldn't have done it. But, you know, that also leads you to where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like who you are, then you just got to kind of go.
That's what Ted Bundy used to say.
He didn't end up well, though. He was like a shoe salesman. Isn't that how crazy in the 90s? You could be a fucking shoe salesman and support a family of 4?
Yeah.
In a house?
Yeah. But yeah. You could be a legit serial killer and still have time for a day job and then support your 4. You know what I mean?
Like, there's no time to be serial killers anymore.
No, you just, yeah.
Too many jobs. November 22nd, 1994, Dudev declares that Chechnya is at war with Russia. 6 battalions of Russian troops are stationed around the north border of Chechnya. November 23rd, 1994, 9 Russian army helicopters attack the town of Shali in Chechnya. Chechnya soldiers, man, Chechnya, that gets your fucking tongue thick. Soldiers and civilians are wounded in this attack, but they are able to push back the helicopters with anti-aircraft fire. Sounds like Ukraine. November 25th, 1994, Russian military helicopters launch a massive missile
salvo against the airport in the city of Grozny, which destroys the airport and damages a nearby apartment complex. Not too many trips going to leave that airport. What's the best place you've ever been?
Best place I've ever been? Hickory, North Carolina. No. Best place I've ever been? Ah, shit. You know, people shit on Florida a lot. I was there on one of the beach cities.
What part, though?
I can't remember if it was West Palm Beach or I think it might have been West Palm Beach. I just remember being in like a really nice hotel on top of one of the nice floors and just being like, this is fucking sick.
Yeah.
I guess more like anything tropical. Hawaii was great. Japan was pretty dope. Hawaii and Japan. Cool. Yeah.
I never really went anywhere. I've been to Florida. I've been all around America. Florida's cool, but Florida to me is like a, looks good from afar. It's like a chick who got weird plastic surgery. Like, oh, fuck, that looks hot. And then you get close, and you're like, there's gators and big bugs here.
Yeah.
They eat you.
Yeah. But it tastes good.
Gators, they're okay. I've had gators.
No, sorry, with the fake plastic surgery.
Oh, the fake plastic. November 26, 1994, Russian sends in 1,200 men, 50 tanks, 80 armored personnel carriers, and 6 Su-27 planes to combat the Chechen forces in Grozny. With the Chechen forces at full strength, the Russian army fails to take Grozny. Sounds familiar. However, this helped to garner support of the war after seeing Chechenian resistance. This is what the FSB had desired all along. They could now remove the threat of Chechen independence with a fully supported declaration of war and take out their political rivals through the guise of peacekeeping in Russia. This also gave the opportunity for the FSB to embezzle money and the authorization to spend a trillion Russian rubles on the war. December 18, 1994, over 13,000 Russian troops mobilized in Grozny to reinstate constitutional Russian law in Chechnya. Man, Russian coming in hot to take Chechnya over. Talk about a bad guess. What's the worst thing a guest have ever done at your house or you at theirs?
Let's see. I can't tell this story on the podcast because I will get in trouble with my family. Okay. But what else? Ah, shit. I'm trying to think of. Oh. I did shit in someone's bathroom and didn't realize that it was the one that they're waiting to get fixed and just pretended like it wasn't me.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Denial. Yeah. Denial.
I was like, denial. Oh, shit. Yeah, I've done that. I think that's like the worst thing.
My buddy was having, his dad was out of town for 3 weeks. So we're like throwing these big parties and his dad left him with money. So what he decided to do, he bought one big pizza and he's like, I'm gonna eat that for a few days and he's gonna throw a party. That night in the middle of the night, I ate his whole pizza and then I went into his bedroom and got so drunk, I pissed in his dresser. So sorry, Vance. To this day, I feel bad. 12-23, 1994. As it looks like the war will come to an end, a new round of terrorist attacks occur in Moscow, first targeting a train station and the next targeting a bus depot. There's only one casualty in both attacks, a bus driver who was driving the bus and pulled up to the depot when the bomb detonated at his usual stop. Alex and Yuri argue that this is more examples of terrorism within Russia by the FSB due to the minimal loss of civilian life, as well as the ease at which explosives made it into Moscow during the Civil War. So essentially, they're just attacking their own people so they can start attacking other countries. Willing to lie and cheat their own country to get what they want. What's the worst lie you ever got caught in?
Oh, the worst lie I've ever got caught in? I told a girlfriend that I had to work when I didn't on a New Year's Eve party, and because I didn't want to go with her and her friends to some fucking New Year's Eve party, so instead me and my friend went off on our own to go do a different New Year's Eve party.
Oh no!
Yeah, and we also went and there was like girls there and shit, and we were just having fun, and she did not like that at all. And then she caught me, and she was like, why? Yeah, and then it was, like, a big deal. And she, like, yelled at me and everything, and I was like, oh, well, yeah. It was not a good relationship.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, like, trying to get away from your loved one on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, most people are like, I want to give you a kiss.
Kiss on New Year's Eve. Yeah, you're like, I'm like, getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, maybe.
Boys?
Yeah.
New Year's with the boys? This one just happened to me. So when I book shows, I put a opening email to everybody on that week. And I wrote the day of the show. I go, hey, everybody, extremely excited to have all you all on. These are some of the best comics. Thank you guys for coming. Now, I also have another thread for the producers of the show. And they ask me who should go where in the lineup. And I go, oh, man. I go, I don't care, but that mole face bitch isn't that funny, so put her in the beginning. I put that in the show group chat with all the comics.
Yeah.
Luckily, Moleface Girl wasn't. Don't clip this one out because this one you got to. Moleface Girl wasn't added to the group chat.
But
so I got. So all the other comics knew.
Are they the type to screenshot and send it to her?
No, because she was kind of. She wasn't anybody's friend. She was from out of town. And, but they. Because I was out of town, because I can't go to the shows that often. So I sent it, but I sent that during the show. So all the comics got it around her, and they all just, like, looked at each other. But it wasn't my proudest moment, but hey.
I got to go back and look who's on that lineup.
I'll show it to you later. Lady was actually, and what the funniest thing, this is actually true.
Did anyone agree?
No, I was completely wrong. That chick came last. She had the other show, came last, and had the best set of the show. And it was completely just. Just me being fucking, you know, sometimes you just
get poisoned. You know what? That's the one thing about you and me is we are like that.
Yeah, just sometimes I get poison and it seeps out of my pores.
Yeah. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah, we're getting better. I get better than I used to be. 1994-5, the war continues. The FSB begins to contract out hits on political opponents and business leaders. Besides those within the organization, no one is aware of their involvement due to the stringent no-witness policy. If someone's silence couldn't be bought, it was a guarantee that they would die. As negotiations begin for an end of the Chechenian-Russian war, Dudev pays millions to the FSB in order to bribe them for one-on-one meeting with Yeltsin. When a business diplomat is sent in Yeltsin's place, Dudev is insulted and demands that his subordinates get his money back from the FSB. Good luck with that. Shortly after Dudev is killed in a targeted operations for the good of Russia, the first Chechen war comes to an end in 1996 and is seen as a large blemish on Boris Yeltsin's first term in office. This is considered an embarrassment for Yeltsin's first term. What's one of the more embarrassing moments of your life?
I got pants in front of everybody in my drama class in like sophomore, junior year. Everyone saw my dick. And it was not a warm day.
Yeah, I mean, and then everyone like pretends that their dick's not small sometimes too. It's like, Come on.
Listen, I was not prepared. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mine was kind of close to that. It's in high school. I'm like, okay, let's say you get a boner. Are you a tuck in your waistline guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, high school, I stay tucked. I keep that thing on me, right? So hard dick is tucked up. We're chilling at a kind of, remember, you know, in high school, those large kind of fence with like plastic melted on them tables. You know what I mean? They're like rubbery kind of fence things. So we're all there, and I'm kind of holding court. I'm standing up, trying to make people laugh. The bell hits. I stretch like this, and all that everyone sees is my purple head. It looked like someone had asphyxiated a woman and left her in a lake. Just this purple-headed cock, and everyone just started screaming. That was pretty embarrassing. It was the color that really was the problem.
Oh my God. I have this. Actually, I have one more embarrassing story. Sure. I told this on another podcast, but it's one of my favorite stories about my dad. When I used to skateboard in high school, mm-hmm. and one of the days I was tired, and I would ask my dad to drop me off before I got to school, like a block away, so I could just skateboard the rest of the way. And on the way to my school is the same direction that he has to go to work. So we met up at the light in front of my school. So as I'm crossing it, he sticks his head out of the window and he screams, "Poser!" And then I fucking ate it. I fucking fell in front of everybody. Like everyone at school saw it, and I fucking ate it hard. And one of my friends picks me up and is like, "Who was that guy?" And I didn't have the heart to tell anybody it was my father.
Goddamn Mexicans are loud in this neighborhood, aren't they? Everyone's like, "Oh, who, Frank? You mean the poser small-dick weirdo?" Yeah, I remember that guy. After the first Chechen war, the FSB continues to utilize terrorist attacks carried out by bandits in order to grow its political power. Agents also understood that if they were ever caught while acting like bandits, they would be killed to destroy any traces of the activity back to the FSB. The FSB operates a lot like the KGB, but before they were wholly committed to carrying out whatever was necessary to keep who they wanted in positions of power within Russia. As the power grew, FSB would create scapegoats whenever the police or journalists found enough evidence to leak them to the activities of bandits and terrorists. If a person was particularly influential, they would disappear into an unknown position for a while until questions about their activities were no longer being asked. Disappeared. It doesn't matter how powerful or influential you are, you can just be disappeared. Who or what is something that has disappeared from your life that you want back?
Ooh, you know, I wish, this may sound weird. I wish I had the same excitement for video games that I used to have, you know? I don't know if you played anything recently, but it's like, I don't know, when you were younger, it was so like, oh my God, like it was such a, an awesome thing. Now it's like nothing's wowed me ever since I've got the new systems.
You know, I think that also is because we can afford video games now.
Yeah.
You know, if there's one out, I can just buy it. Yeah. Whereas a kid, either I had to work my ass off for it or Christmas it would come. And then I would just play it nonstop. Like I bought Elven Knight?
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Too hard. Haven't played it since.
Extremely hard game. I was laughing when you bought it.
Yeah, I bought it. And then, because I like to just, those are the type of games I like. I like to just get really high, go straight, try to kill everything. And I could barely get out of the first area. I was like, fine, I'm done. If I was a kid, I'd be like, this is my game for the year. And I'm going to play it until I can play it. 1997, when a Russian major is explicitly linked to ordering contract killings of political rivals, an investigation reveals ties to the FSB. The scapegoat became the head of the Moscow FSB, Antoly Trofimov.
Trofimov.
The reason Trofimov became a scapegoat is because he ordered the deputy director to fire everyone involved in the contract killing scandal. Trofimov's deputy director refused to do this and suggested that Trofimov should quit while he knows what's good for him. I bet there are some days that Trofimov would like to forget. If you could pick a day to relive over and over Groundhog Day style, what day would it be and why?
The second day of any vacation. Specifically when I went to Hawaii. Because the first day, it's like you're getting there. It's a whole thing. That second day,
yeah.
That second day of vacation is like your real first day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you do? What'd you like to do that day? What was it fun?
Well, when I went to Hawaii with Hannah's family, it was because Hannah's family is fucking you.
Mm-hmm.
Her aunt had a condo. So she's one of those ladies who bought a condo. And listen, I don't know what everyone's upset about condos for, or timeshares. But holy shit, I was like, yeah, you can fucking rip me off. These timeshares are fucking amazing. It was right on the fucking beach. So we got there. We had a cool spot. We went and we smoked a lot of weed. And then we just went and swam with turtles. I cried swimming next to a turtle. I cried.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
I cried. I looked at this turtle and was like, you're a beautiful creature of the ocean. And then I did mushrooms and then cried more in the ocean, and it was just a beautiful night.
Well, I mean, crying in the ocean, you could be like, it's not tears, it's just ocean water.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. And they're just magical animals.
Yeah, no, I really want to do that. Me and Jordan are trying to plan a all-inclusive trip to Mexico pretty soon. Because I've just really never been on a sick-ass vacation. I've been on cruises, but...
Not like an all-exclusive place. I'm going to my first one. I'm going to Cabo
with Hannah's.
Yeah,
it's not that bad. You can get like a week for like $2,500 for two people.
It's not bad at all. Hannah's... So Hannah's mom got cancer and then beat it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
Victory
so
lap.
Yeah. So we're just gonna like. So they're like taking us all to Mexico. I'm like, that's crazy. Because when someone in my family has cancer and beats it, we don't go to Mexico.
Whenever my family gets cancer, they die.
Yeah.
Health insurance is very expensive.
It's usually sad that I get a chair.
When someone in my family gets cancer, I get their things because they're dead now.